It's 1212 at KUOW Seattle. The police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri has spurred discussions about race, law enforcement, and unequal treatment all over the country. Adults analyze interactions between police and minority youth, but it is the youth who have to live it. Devin Rogers lives in South Seattle. Yanina Sharpley Travis is from Renton. They're both members of Youth Undoing Institutional Racism, which is a project of the American Friends Service Committee and the People's Institute Northwest. They spoke to KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.
Yanina, we'll start with you. How did you first learn about what was happening in Ferguson, what happened with Michael Brown?
I was scrolling on the internet, and I go on Tumblr a lot, and there were a lot of blog posts about what was happening. These people had their hands up, but yet you could still hear the police officers saying, like, you need to move, and they're saying, we're being peaceful, but they kept spraying them with tear gas. And it was really hard to watch because, like, we're in the United States, and it's supposed to be so progressive and, like the land for the people by the people, mm-hmm. but that's not reality. Like, our police officers are hurting our people, you know, for standing up for what is right.
I was really angry at the fact that another unarmed black man was shot and killed. There's been a lot of police shootings and a lot of police brutality going on in the past, like, month. Like, here in Seattle, there was Oscar Perez who was shot by the Sound Transit Police or whatever, the fare enforcement, which I think is ridiculous because it's like a $2 fare, maybe. And even, like, it just seemed, like, ridiculous to, like, shoot someone over something that's so, like, small, like, and in, like, this society, how we place, like, material things over lives is something that really just, like, angers me. And so when I heard about Mike Brown, I just thought about all the other things that have been going on lately. I'm just like, again? Not, like, again? This is happening again?
Well, so what are you saying to your friends about this? What kinds of discussions are you and your friends having about Michael Brown and about what's happening in Ferguson?
How do I say this? A lot of my friends follow me on Tumblr, so, like, we're all, like, having the same sort of reaction. There are some friends that I'm really close to who have, like, the same, like, kind of views as me, and I talk to them about it really passionately. Like, yesterday I was talking about the situation really, like, going hard, like, really just, like, deconstructing all the stuff that was happening and just getting really mad about it. But at the same time, there are some people that I just can't talk to. Like, one of my best friends, she's a white girl, and she doesn't really understand the premise of, like, racial profiling and racism, so it's hard for me to talk to her about this type of stuff. I don't feel comfortable talking to her about it, which is, like, it's usually the other way around, but I don't feel comfortable talking to her. A lot of people just don't care. And I was the same way a couple years ago. Like, I didn't, another person got shot, whatever, it's just that. But then, like, I started, like, actually, like, thinking about what. But then at the same time, a lot of my friends don't know what's going on. And I try to post on Facebook about, like, things about my life because, you know, that's me. And, like, I post things and people like I posted about the Mike Brown thing a couple of days ago and people were, like, liking the status, but no one was really commenting on it. No one was really wanting to have that discussion. A lot of people just don't care. And I was the same way a couple of years ago. Like, I didn't really, another person got shot, whatever, it's just that. But then, like, I started, like, actually, like, thinking about what. I started, like, really thinking critically about, like, why this stuff is happening. And then I started caring. And I think that some people are at their point in their lives where they don't care. But it's just hard to talk to people who don't care. And it, like, it makes me more angry, like, the apathy that they show when they see this type of stuff.
I go to predominantly white school. So when I bring up race, they're always saying, like, oh, you're using the race card too much. And I know you're one of the few, like, black kids at this school. But you're making the issue bigger than it is. It's not racism. Racism, we live in a liberal city. We don't really have that much racism. My student, or like my peers, don't understand. Or they try to talk, but they just don't understand what racism is. Mm-hmm. Or I feel like they just, like, refute everything that I'm saying. So I don't actually have, like, constructive conversations about it. There's a girl, and she's been tweeting a lot about it. And we've been talking about how this is just another form of racial profiling and how the riots, well, they're not riots, how the peaceful protests are being called riots. But yet we still have, like, she goes to a white school as well. So everyone on Twitter, like, all of our white friends are, like, commenting on it. And they're saying, like, well, I think you guys are blowing this out of hand and out of proportion. So I just stopped tweeting it after a while. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have, but I just stopped tweeting about it because I know, like, all of my followers are not going to appreciate it, and they're going to just say, like, you're talking about race too much.
I'm talking with Devin Rogers and Yanina Sharpley Travis. They're both members of an organization called Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. And we're talking about what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, and what kinds of conversations Yanina and Devin are having with their friends. But what about with adults? Are you having conversations with adults about this?
I've been talking mostly to my mom about it, and she's on my side. She understands that this happened because of racial profiling. And when we talk about it, we think about, one, it's really sad that their family had to go through this, the Brown family. And two, we've been talking about how society isn't really set up for people of color to succeed because there are a lot of black men that are being targeted just because of the way they look. And they're being killed because of this. And then when we try to stand up for our rights and say, like, this isn't okay, we're getting called, like, we're called rioters. And they're blowing tear gas at us.
Devin, you're nodding. What about
you? I'm agreeing with Nina because all that stuff is really true. I don't really have, like, an adult to talk to, per se. My mother is white, and it's really hard for me to talk to her about all the stuff I'm doing, like undoing institutional racism. I remember when I first did my Freedom School last summer. It's like a week of programming focused around institutional racism and like why are people poor and just getting down to like what racism actually is. When I did my Freedom School last year, I remember my mom was driving me home afterwards and I was telling her about a Know Your Rights training that we were doing. And then she goes, "Are they teaching you that all policemen are bad?" And I go, "Well, no, they're just teaching me how I should react if a police officer wasn't a good police officer and he was actually trying to like put me away or something." And she was really like negative towards it. And my dad, he's really like old fashioned and traditional. He's like the type of guy who's like, "Oh, well, this is how it is. And there's not a lot we can do to change it. We just have to be safe." So it's hard to talk to him about it. And I feel comfortable talking to some other people about it. Some other people that I know would like have a good like conversation about it and actually like have a conversation, not so much an argument. I don't think within my group of friends, I've been able, like my schoolmates or whatever, I haven't really been able to have that yet. They're not ready for it, I don't think. I don't think they understand what they're talking about.
What do you think the events in Ferguson tell us about the United States?
I think it tells us that the United States is not as progressive as many think it is. I think it shows that racism is still alive, and it's still alive as it was in the 60s. This is just mirroring everything that happened in the 60s. We're still fighting for our rights as black people and just people of color in general.
I totally agree with what she said. Can I cuss?
We will bleep you if need be.
All right. People think, like Nina said, we're really progressive and we're really moving forward. We're really great. But in reality, we're not. This type of stuff happens all the time. And just because it's being broadcasted now all over social media and the news, people are all of a sudden thinking that this is something that's brand new, but it's not brand new. This is something that's been happening ever since this country has been started. Black people have been assumed guilty since they've been brought here, since the very beginning, since we signed the Declaration of Independence or whatever, like, all men are created equal. Like, we all know that's a lie. Only white landowning men were created equal in America. We were still slaves. I think that people thinking that this is something that, oh, we need to stop this police reform, like, it does need to happen. But we also have to think about the things in the past that have happened, all the other black men who were shot and killed.
I'm talking with Devin Rogers and Yanina Sharpley Travis. They're both members of Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. We're talking about the events in Ferguson, Missouri. We're talking about what happened after Michael Brown was shot. And you just talked about police reform. Mm-hmm. What's your relationship like with the police? Do you trust them?
No. I don't trust them, but I also haven't had any like run-ins with them, per se. I have a lot of family members who have had instances with the police. I have family members who have gone to jail. And just from the stories that they told us, like, even though it's like a little biased from like, oh, I went to jail, this is how I felt, their stories have always been really negative towards the police. And my father, he used to live in Compton back, when was he born? He used to live in Compton around the 70s, 80s. So he personally saw a lot of the police around that area just like treating people of his skin color badly. Since I am lighter skin, I don't really have to worry about it as much, but I do hang out with a lot of people who aren't as light as me, who are darker than me, and I'm worried that maybe we'll get stopped for just like being too loud. I'm a pretty loud person, so when I'm hanging out with my friends, I can be whatever and disrupting the peace, you know, that type of stuff.
So how do you alter your behavior in those situations? Do you alter your behavior to try and avoid interactions with the police?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's total, like, it's total BS that I have to do it. But every time, like, I'm leaving the school I used to go to before school ended, I keep on saying that. Every time I would leave or every time I was, like, going home or going somewhere else and I would see an officer, I'd always, like, I would always be really aware of him or her, you know, him or her. And I would always, like, be very aware, and I'd always, like, make sure I wasn't being too loud if I was with my friends, or I'd make sure that I wasn't, like, doing anything that looks suspicious, whatever suspicious looks like, you know, that's a really gray area, according to the police. But I would just make sure that I wasn't looking or, like, doing anything suspicious, because probable cause is something, and maybe I fit a description that something happened in an area and I fit that description.
Yanina, what about you?
I typically see police when I'm driving. So if I see a police officer near my vehicle, I always turn down my music, or I switch to like a pop station rather than rap, because rap music is thuggish and violent. I just turn myself off pretty much. And I always have my hands visible at 10 and 2, because sometimes when I drive, I'll have like one hand like on the window or like driving with one hand. And I always make sure that I have like both hands up, so if they were to look at my vehicle, they would be able to see that I'm just driving.
Thank you guys so much.
Yay.
That was fun. KOW's Jeannie Yandel spoke to Devin Rogers and Yanina Sharpley Travis. They are two members of Youth Undoing Institutional Racism. That's a project of the American Friends Service Committee and the People's Institute Northwest. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.